schools. We used to say it's a well-known MIT in France. This is a joint work with Jacques Blum from University of Nice, also in France. And I'm going to present you a new data simulation scheme for several problems. Okay, so I come from... Okay. So I'm going to speak about the back and forth nudging algorithm. I will first describe this new algorithm, and then I will show you several numerical experiments and various models. It's more or less ocean models. This one could be a simplified meteorological model. But it's only toy models because I work at the university and we are quite poor. So the motivation is that the classical data estimation schemes, for example, the 4DVAR, the rational scheme, all Kalman filters and smoothers are very difficult to implement. You need at least 200 people to make them work. And I'm alone in Toulouse. So the main difficulties for the 4DVAR algorithm is the model linearization. In order to compute the tangent linear model and the adjoint model, you also need an efficient optimization algorithm. If you prefer sequential algorithms, you need quite good and large error covariance matrices. So the idea was to develop a very simple and efficient data simulation scheme without all that. So I will call it BFN because it's shorter than back and forth nudging. First I will detail what is the standard nudging algorithm. It is quite old, but some of you may know this algorithm. So we consider a model looking like that. So I'm a mathematician, so all models can be written like that. You have an initial condition, which is the main unknown of the problem. You may have observations of the system, and you usually have an observation operator H, which allows you to compare the observations and the model state. So the standard nudging algorithm consists in adding a feedback term directly in the model equations, which measure the discrepancy between the observation and the corresponding state of the system. And K is some gain matrix. We can call it nudging matrix, or if you optimize the choice of K, it's simply the Kalman filter. So this has been applied first in meteorology in the late 70s, and then in oceanography, also in atmosphere. And then people have considered the optimal determination of this matrix K, and you find the Kalman filter, in fact. So the problem here is that when you solve this equation with the initial condition here, you get some condition at final time t, and you usually want an initial condition at time zero in order to have quite good forecast. So the idea is quite simple. You have a final condition with the same model, and you want to find an initial condition at time zero. Of course, you cannot solve this directly because it is an ill-posed problem. So the idea is to apply nudging to this backward model simply by adding a feedback term in the backward equation. So you have a final condition, you solve this backward in time, and you get something at time zero. And so you can do this many times. You start with some a priori initial condition. You solve first the forward model with nudging. You get something at time t, and then you can solve the backward model. And you come back to time zero, and you can do it many times. So I will show you first some numerical results on Lorentz equation. It is a very simple equation because it's you have only three unknowns, x, y, and z. No, it can be the same, but it can be a different one, yeah. So this is a very simple model, but you have some non-linearities here, and you have a very chaotic model. So the assimilation period is 0, 3, and then you have a forecast period between 3 and 6, and we have observations every 100 time steps. So maybe you already have seen this kind of figure. It's a typical trajectory of Lorentz model. You have two unstable fixed points here and here, and you are going from one to another and so on. So here, we first studied the convergence of the algorithm. So we are looking at the difference between the exact trajectory and at, well, let's come back. Yeah. We are performing some twin experiments. So we have the initial condition, we run the model, we can extract data from this run, and then we can add some noise, and we forget the exact initial condition, we want to find it again. So we have the exact initial condition, and here we have the difference between the exact initial condition and what we get with the BFN algorithm at several iterations. So at the beginning we have a difference, for example, with x variable of nearly 2, and then we are doing a back and forth integration, and then we find this point and so on. And you can see that after 10 iterations, we are quite near the exact initial condition.
What is your backward model?
Sorry?
What is your backward model?
It's the same, but with reverse time.
So the fusion operates backwards?
Yeah.
It makes things bigger?
Yeah, but we have the nudging term, so it works. Yeah, here no, but it's unstable. Yeah, but here it's also unstable. And if you, yeah.
So then it's not applicable to this point?
Of course it is. I will show you some models with diffusion after. So here you have the difference between two iterates versus the number of iterations, and after 7 or 8 iterations you have no difference, so you can stop, there is no improvement.
Can you explain for a moment about how many observations, you have 3 variables, how many observations do you have over the time period that you're assimilating?
31
observations, oh,
yeah.
31 pieces of information, you're estimating 3 from 31.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And the other... Okay. Thank you. Oh, yeah, so the other thing is how big...
Sorry, and those...
You should
stop.
Those are noisy observations.
Sorry?
They're noisy observations.
No, the time is not noisy. I will add some noise after. And here it's the Fadiva cost function. It's the difference between the trajectory and the observations. And you can see that it also we have nearly zero at the end. So that's why it's not noisy, because you can find the exact initial condition. So in less than 10 iterations, it converges. So here, still no noise. You have the true initial condition and the trajectory here in plain line. Then you have the Fadiva trajectory in dashed line, using only 10 iterations of Fadiva. And in that dashed line, you have the BFN trajectory, using also 10 iterations, because the cost of one iteration of BFN or Fadiva is almost the same, because you have one forward resolution and one backward. So you can see that during the assimilation period, you have a quite good agreement, except at the initial condition here, which is not good with the BFN algorithm, but it's good after. And here's the forecast. You can see that the forecast is better, is good until time 5 with the BFM, and it's not good with the Fadiva algorithm. So we add some noise. The additional curve comes from the first noisy observation that you can use as an initial condition. And you can see that you still have a good agreement during the assimilation period, both for Fadiva and BFM, and you have still quite better solution with the BFM, even if it is not exactly the same as before. But here you have some noise on the observations, so it seems to work. So we tried with a PDE. It's a 1D viscous Burgers equation here, so you have diffusion. It is known to represent the circulation on the 45th north circle. So you have a periodic domain around the Earth. The time step is 1 hour, the assimilation period is 1 month, and we have data every 10 hours, every 5 grid points in space, and sometimes we have some noise. So here we still study the convergence of the algorithm without noise on the observations. So here you have the RMS relative difference between two consecutive iterates versus the iterations. So you can see that after 5 iterations you don't move, so you can stop. Here it's the difference between the identified trajectory and the exact one at the initial time and the final time of the assimilation period. You can see that after 3 iterations you have nearly 10% of error on the initial condition, and at the end of the assimilation period you have only 5%. So it's always better at the end than at the beginning. Here you have the evolution in time of the BFN and Fadiva trajectories with the corresponding initial conditions, using still 10 iterations of BFN and 10 of Fadiva. So you can see that at the beginning, you cannot see, but at the beginning the BFN is here and the Fadiva is here, but at the end of the assimilation period the BFN is much better than the Fadiva, and during the forecast here that lasts 3 months, I think, you still have something very good. So here you have no observation noise. Then we add some noise. Here you have what we get from the first observation, if you don't have data assimilation. Here you still have the BFM, which is not good at the beginning, but it begins very good before the end of the assimilation period. Here you have the Fadiva trajectory, and here That's a funny thing. You do 5 iterations of BFM, and then you use what you came as an initial guess for 5 iterations of Fordiva. So all these 3 experiments have the same computational cost. And you can see that you can improve the Fordiva using some pre-processing with the BFN algorithm. Okay, so now we use a layered quasi-geostatic ocean model. So it's a quite big model. It's a PDE. So we have it's a multi-layer ocean. And here it's the top layer with the wind stress, the intermediate layer and the bottom layer. So you have diffusion almost everywhere. So I skip the notations. So the mesh you have, I think it's 121,000 points, and using only 3 levels because it's an old laptop, my laptop. The time step is 1.5 hours. The affiliation period is quite small, 5 days for the same reason. And you have data sampling every 5 time steps and space grid points. So we first study the convergence, and it works. So here you have the difference between 2 consecutive iterates and between the iterates and the exact solution. So we start at 20 iterations and we have almost the exact solution. So here it's we consider the Fordiva cost function, measuring the difference between the observations and the corresponding state all over the assimilation period. And we perform 20 iterations of BFN and 20 iterations of Fordiva. The Fordiva consists in minimizing this cost function, but not the BFN algorithm. But you can see that it decreases very well. Even here you have the 3 gradients of the cost function with respect to the 3 layers. It's interesting because you only have data on the surface layer, but you can improve the intermediate and bottom layer. So here there is no noise. Here we had some noise on the observations. It's not so good, but we still have some kind of convergence of the algorithm in, let's say, 20 iterations. Here you can see that in the Fordiva the cost function decreases. It's the goal of the algorithm. In the BFN algorithm, it decreases also at the beginning and then no more after 10 iterations, but you can still have a quite good improvement here in 10 iterations. So here you can see the time evolution of the trajectories, the BFN and the Fordiva one. So here you have the simulation period, 5 days, and here the forecast period. And so it's the error between the identified solution and the exact solution. And you can see that at the beginning of the simulation period, the BFN is not very good, but still at the end, it's quite good, and the forecast is better. So here's the top layer, the upper layer where you have the observations. Here's the intermediate layer, so you have no observation. You have almost the same kind of behavior. And here you have the bottom layer. So for bottom layer, the Fordiva is better. I should have tried with only 2 layers. Here we can add also some model error. Which is quite an interesting thing now. So you add something in the model, you generate observations, and then you forget the model error and you try to find a good estimation of the initial condition with your perfect model and with noisy observations coming from a perturbed model. And you can see that we still have convergence because it's, I could have plotted more than 20, but it doesn't move. You have here better results also with the BFN that with the 4DV algorithm. So this is quite predictable because in the 4DV we have no model error estimation, whereas in the BFN algorithm you add something in the model, so you have automatically some correction. So here I will show you some movies on the shallow water model. So it's only one layer. The PD is here, so you have three variables, the height and the velocity. The assimilation period is 1 month. And we assume that we have observations of only the height and nothing about the velocity, U and V, and every 24 time steps. So it should be, so here you have the time steps in seconds, so you can compute. The only thing is that we don't have observation error, so it's preliminary results. But we try to have real conditions with observations of age only. So here we're starting from completely different initial condition, and we have the difference between the trajectory and the exact solution versus time. So here you have exactly one the assimilation period. So we are going from here. We are integrating in the forward mode the model, so we can see the decrease of the error. And then when we are at the final time, we can come back with a backward resolution. It's the green one. So it's the first iteration here. Then we can do a second one, forward and backward. And you can do many more, but it's almost here. So it was for the variable H, which is observed. So we can do the same comparison for U and V, the velocity field, which is not observed. But you can see that still we have a decrease. And then you can do I think, four iterations, and then it doesn't move. So you can see that you decrease here by 10 the difference, and then Z is the same. So now we are doing some forecast. So it's the same curve here as before. It's the variable H. And we have done two forecasts here. One using the using the points you get after a second iteration, so it's at time t equal to 0 here, it's in blue, and one forecast using the solution after the last forward integration, so the point just before the last backward resolution, to compare if it is better to use an initial condition or a final condition. And it is better with the initial condition in blue, only at the beginning, and then after it's almost the same. So you can see here that for the forecast you have no nudging, it's the exact model. You can see that at the beginning you are better than if you had some nudging. So here's the same with you. It's better using the final condition because probably first because U is not an observed variable, and also because the estimation period is quite long. At the beginning, the blue curve is the better one until here. And for V, it's the same. So I'll try to show you some movies. So here it's the variable H. You can see the ocean here. You can imagine that it is the North Atlantic Ocean. So here you have Canada, here United States, and here France. And here you have the Gulf Stream. So why it's quite hot in summer here and not here. So you can see some turbulence here, and here it's the exact solution. So here it's the initial condition I used for the BSN algorithm. So it's the exact initial condition at a different time. And then I add some multiplicative noise and then additive noise. So you can see it's nice. And then you are doing some first forward integration with nothing. So here it's nice. And then backward integration. So you should just like the clock, backward in time. Then forward. And then the second backward. And then forward without nudging for the forecast. So it works also with the velocity. Here it's the exact solution. So you can see hot water going to France. So here the initial condition. So you can see it's quite noisy and far from the exact initial condition. And U is not observed, but you have a coupling between the different variables, and you can obtain. So here, it was too hot this summer, so we send back some water. The second iteration, forward and then backward, and then forward without anything for the forecast. So you have a very easy implementation because you do not need to linearize the model. You can use the nonlinear model even in backward. You do not have any adjoint state. You do not need any minimization process. It's very efficient in the first iteration, the very first. The computational and memory cost is quite lower than for device comparable, but you have two integrations, but you do not have a minimization. It works very well on several geophysical models. It can also be used as a preconditioner for the 4BZR. So you should try it. And I must say that this has been supported by the CNRS because they paid my travel here. Okay, thank you.